Welcome to another episode of the Marriage Mentor Podcast with Eric and Jolene Engel, where Eric and Jolene answer marriage questions for believers, looking at the root of the problem instead of the symptom, always while applying God's wisdom and word for a Christ-centered marriage.
Hi, I'm Eric Engel with my wonderful wife, Jolene, with another episode of the Marriage Mentor.
In this episode, we're going to hear a gal share some very common things that wives share in marriages. So let's take a listen.
Hi, Jolene. How are you? My name is Sally from Alaska. And I had a question. What do you do when your husband has let you down so many times before? It's very hard to trust him. He makes decisions without consulting you. And moves very, very quickly as far as making choices and not including you. How do you handle stuff like that? He shuts you out and, you're not included in his plans. And then the family ends up suffering because of it. I need to know how to deal with that.
Okay, Sally, this is what I have to say. The pulling away, your husband has pulled away from you. And every wife has the power to draw him back. So we're going to discuss a few of those things. Now, husbands, all husbands across the face of the planet, every single one I know, lets their wife down.
Okay. What?
What? What are you talking about, Willis?
Are you saying that I've let you down?
On more than one occasion.
I can't believe it.
Okay, so that's common. And there's obviously various degrees of that. Okay, but a wife has to realize that you're married to a sinner and an imperfect human being. He will disappoint you.
Well, and you are a sinner married to a sinner.
What? What you talking about, Willis?
Okay. That's right.
So, and my tendency would be, you let me down, so let me kick you or criticize you because of it. Okay, so the tit for tat. So he messes up, I react. That's common in marriage. So let's try and move away from that.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. They're married. We assume that they loved each other, wanted to get married to each other.
Right,
right. He screwed up. Because she now realizes that he is a man.
Right.
And at some point, he screws up. And what does she do?
Well, she gets hurt. The first reaction is she's hurt. Which, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's the next steps that are the issues.
But she's hurt and then angry.
Right. Okay. Well, and either one of two things takes place. She's hurt and she either stuffs those feelings and then resentment takes place. Or then the critical spirit comes out, or the cold shoulder. Okay. This is every marriage goes through this. So what I'm wanting to help wives do is when you realize that that's taking place, okay, how do you stop it?
Okay. How do you get off that path?
How do you get off that path? Because the two of you started off with sharing each other's dreams, aspirations, hopes, everything. You shared all that. So what happens in marriage is, okay, let's stay on that path. But when we get off it, how do we repair? So this has probably gone on for a while. If the guy has shut her off and goes off and does things without her, and that's a hard place for a wife because she's like left in the cold.
Right. He's feeling like, hey, I don't need to hear it. I don't, you do your thing, I'll do my thing.
Right. So let's go way back to the foundation. And really what it comes down to is a wife's influence. Okay. That's what it comes down to.
You're an expert on influence.
Okay. Anyways, you're so kind. Proverbs 12:4. Every wife, every believing Christ-following wife needs to really take ownership of this verse. If you want to have a phenomenal marital relationship, let this be a life verse for you.
Read it.
An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Okay. Seek to be an excellent wife.
What?
What?
An excellent wife isn't a thorn.
No.
Isn't a club to her husband.
No. You know, and our culture is, it looks down on a wife who is her husband's cheerleader. And I said, but, you know, the culture's stupid because the culture is going to turn us away from our husbands, our actions. If we follow the ways of the culture, then you could guarantee having, you know, a poor marriage.
Satan rules the culture.
Yeah.
And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right, right. So our flesh tendency is, you've hurt me. I'm going to be resentful. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be critical. That's the MO for every single wife. But we're Christ-following wives. So let's change that. Instead of waiting for your husband to change and move toward you, there's something in us as wives. We're the nurturers. We're the ones who have so much power and control in the relationship to bring the husband back. Okay? I don't know what it is in men. I think that they feel maybe that they can't, they don't know how to fix it, so they just kind of run for the hills. Okay?
Right.
I think you guys are more apt to do that.
Yeah, we're not going to stand there and fight necessarily. We want peace. We want to get out of there. Okay? So, you know, we will run for the hills or the man cave or whatever.
The corner of a rooftop.
Right, the corner of a rooftop.
Right, right. And a wife is kind of left just kind of dumbfounded, like, where did he go? How come he's no longer attentive like he once was? And then the relationship starts to just really crumble and it becomes this snowball effect. And so I want you to be a proactive wife. Basically, I want you to go back and get your guy and be the gal. Okay. Don't sit on the sidelines stewing, waiting for your man to come back and show up with roses. Okay.
Well,
you be the proactive woman and go get him.
And the verse says that she is a crown.
Right.
Okay. Which she might not want to be a crown, but
she wants the relationship.
That's her assignment. That's right. Who she is.
Right.
Okay. And
if you want the relationship, then be the crown. Okay.
Instead of the club.
Or the thorn. Yeah.
Or the thorn.
Yeah. So if you want the relationship, but, and every wife, for the most part, wants a beautiful, loving relationship.
So how much does pride have to do with this?
Oh, 99.9%.
So it's a pride issue.
Sometimes it could certainly be that, and it could certainly be, what do I do?
Okay, so let's look at this.
So, you know, just because I could say, hey, do these things, doesn't mean that it's all pride. A lot of it is. I had one woman, she wrote a great, great comment on the blog. Let me see if I can remember it. It was something like I want to be the godly wife instead of the prideful wife or something. Because here's our natural tendency. We get hurt. We blame. It's his fault. And I'm not going to budge. I'm going to wait for him to come apologize. Now, I've done that. We've been married for 18 years. I'm sure I've done that many times. But then I always have to go back to, what is it that I want?
What is it
do
that
I
you
want
do
to
want?
Smear your face in what you've done wrong sometimes?
That makes you feel good for a short amount of time.
For a short amount of time, but it does not produce the type of relationship that I want. I am not okay having a mediocre marriage. I'm not okay with a platonic marriage. I'm not okay with any of that. It's just like, what is my goal as a wife? So I ask you, the wife, what is your goal? Is it to be right? Okay, because we have to deal with that. We have to deal with those emotions. In this case, this wife wants her husband to consider her. Okay, so here's my challenge, wife. You go consider your husband.
Well, what was Jesus' command to the disciples when they said, how many times do I have to forgive? Okay, because basically when you're forgiving someone, that's coming from a standpoint of, I'm right, and right. I've been wronged.
Right.
And Jesus' attitude was, you always forgive.
Right.
You know.
Well, and when a man shuts his wife out, the wife has lost the influence in his life. And so how do you regain it? You got to start with trust. Are you a wife he could trust? Are you a soft place for him to land? If he's run into his man cave or the corner of a rooftop or run into his sisters and mama and sharing everything, you are no longer that soft place for him to land.
That's an interesting term. Soft place. I like that.
Why?
Because you're a soft place for me to land.
Well, and...
meaning if I'm going through a hard time or trouble, or I want to come to you. I mean, I want to I want to be around you rather than be away from you. And I know that when we're away from each other for even like a day or so, it's like, I haven't seen you forever.
Right. Where have you been? What's been going on? We want to know about each other's lives. But because, you know, when I go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were, before sin entered in, before they made the choice to sin, they were naked and unashamed.
Right.
Okay. Then sin came, and then they were ashamed. Okay. So what happens in marriage is when sin comes, hurt comes, and then we put up the walls. And the walls come, and when there's walls, there's like zero vulnerability. And are you a wife that's allowing your husband to be vulnerable? Okay. Wives have issues being vulnerable. And let me tell you something, girlfriend, men have way more issues of being vulnerable than women. Way more. You guys are very fragile. And yes, you have to put on the persona that you're tough. And so that man will not allow, he'll shut you out real quick. So how does she fix this? You be the wife he could trust. You got to build that. Somehow it got broken. I don't know how it got broken. Maybe too much critical spirit, too much condemning, too much of, you know, you're not measuring up to my standards, too much arguing.
I want you to talk about the critical spirit a little bit, because I think that is a huge, huge issue.
It's in our DNA. It is. It's so in our DNA. It's not, you know, your Italian or Irish heritage or whatever your background is or whatever culture you've come from that you want to make excuses. It's in us as women. It's just our sin. It's our flesh. And we look at our guys and we just seethe with like contempt towards them because they've let us down. And our kids have let us down, but we don't have like the same viewpoint.
Why not?
Because we have an enemy and his name is Satan and he wants to destroy marriage. And so he'll use our sin to put that crack in our marriage and widen it even further and further and further. And then we make choices in our marriage based on our emotions instead of the word of God. We say, well, my personality says this. I'm like, that's not your personality. That's your sin.
Okay.
You know, that's not your cultural thing. It's your sin. It's my sin.
Which is what we have to deal with as believers on a daily basis.
Every single day.
And for some reason in our marriages, we don't think we have any sin.
Right. It's their fault. You know, I could look at you and say it's always your fault. I could get out of bed every single day.
Well, it probably is.
Okay. Anyways, it's not.
Well, I'm just saying.
But we look at our spouse as if they're not godly enough and they need to be more godly and then everything would be wonderful. That is how a lot of women operate.
But bottom line is women, just by who they are, tend to be more conscientious.
Oh, sure.
Tend to be more responsibility oriented, mm-hmm. because they take care of the family and the house and everything else. So when a guy doesn't measure up to that.
Oh, yeah. Their world is just like, I've married a loser and I need to tell him that. Okay. And so where's that going to get you? And you might not say those exact words, but your actions, the rolling of the eyes, the disgust, the deep sighs, it all communicates to him that he has disappointed you. So he runs for the hills and he shuts you out. Okay, so anyways, so what do we do? What does this gal do to get him back in? She's got to win him back over. Okay, I don't want you to sit in your marriage and have the viewpoint of he needs to change, because the woman has the ability to influence that husband so much you go back to Genesis and Eve had the ability. She had the ability, the powerful influence to take her husband who had an intimate relationship walking with God in the garden and said, here, eat this fruit. Adam was not stupid. Okay. Eve was deceived. Adam chose to sin. That woman had the ability to pull him away from his relationship with God.
Hey, those are fighting words. You're saying that Adam was not deceived, but Eve was.
Eve was. Go read the scriptures, okay? I didn't write those words. There could be women listening today saying, oh, well, I'm not going to be deceived. I was that woman, like, I don't know, 19 years ago when I read those. I'm like, just because Eve was deceived doesn't mean I'm going to be deceived. Well, I've been deceived many times. But my point is, don't let your pride destroy the relationship. OK, Because in this instance, this woman is hurting so much that I'm like, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Win him back over. How did you win him over when you were dating? What did you do? You were a woman that he could trust. You were a woman that he could share his deepest thoughts with. You listened intently. You weren't criticizing. You supported him. You weren't combating.
So why did she do that then?
Because she saw something good in him. She saw that hero in him. Okay? There was something there that drew her to him. And so what I'm saying is draw him back to you. Esteem him in public. Be that safe place for him. Accept him. Let him know you're praying for him. In the midst of all this, be a passionate wife. Pursue him intimately. I mean, that man would be like, I don't know what happened to this woman that she's so loving, so kind, so gracious, so accepting, and she has a sensual side. She's not just saying, I accept you for who you are, but sexually, I'm desiring you. Put him before the children. And let go of the issues that are pushing him away. You don't even need to bring those up because he already knows he's let you down. So do these things to restore the relationship back up, to restore the influence, and watch to see what the Lord does. Because your husband will then be like, wow, that woman of mine, something's going on in her life. You know, choose to be that joyful wife in the midst of this hard time and let go of the pride and embrace the right kind of relationship. Become that crown.
Well, and the world is whispering with screams to the believer.
Right.
Okay. And so I don't know how many times I see believers espousing the world's standards and the world's, what they say. It's just like, you call yourself a believer and yet you're holding on to these beliefs and these thoughts and you have to go back to the word. Because you have to combat what Satan's telling you every single day. When you turn on the TV, when you talk to friends, when you go on Facebook, when you see all that garbage. And you don't think it's garbage. You think, oh, it's just fun, you know, or whatever. It's not. It's devious.
Well, and do you really want to take counsel from the world in regards to how your marriage should be? Because the world is not the creator of marriage. God is the creator of marriage. So go back to his instruction manual on how to do marriage God's way. Because every wife, deep down inside, wants to do marriage God's way, because God's way of marriage is a beautiful marriage. It produces the type of marriage you want. Now, is there work to get there? Sure, there is. There's a lot of laying down of your pride and yourself and the letting go and the bitterness and all the flesh, all that flesh stuff. You got to start learning how to throw it out the window, because the goal is to have that Christ-centered marriage. And a lot of that really... the wife is the one who holds a lot of those keys to win him back and be that woman that is by his side. And then when that takes place, he's just like, she's my gal and I'll do anything for her.
You're my gal and that's all we got.
Wow. Okay. Love you. And anyway, so I'm here with my husband, Eric. I'm Jolene Engel, and I will see you next time.